The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily, our second day at the new time slot. So we're still getting adjusted, still experimenting with the desk and the background and all those good things. But yes, enjoying, thoroughly enjoying the extra time that we have for preparation. Preparation is the key for just about every successful endeavor. So we appreciate your flexibility in making the adjustments that many of you have had to make to watch the live stream 4 hours later. Of course, you can get to the live stream at our website, thetrumpet.com/live. And as always, you can send us feedback. We sure appreciate your feedback, good and bad. And that can be sent through to td@kpcg.fm. Well, we have lots to get to on today's program, including the intense pressure coming from authorities to get the double jab, to get the vaccine. We'll get into that in some detail. First, though, I want to begin with what my father wrote in the article, America Has No Helper. That's back in April of this year, the April edition, I should say, of the Trumpet magazine. No helper for America. Here we are, day 105 of bitter affliction. Bitter affliction. And as my father wrote in that that article, he said, think of all the people who had to cooperate for the Mueller probe. He's talking about this illegal probe into Donald Trump and his supporters. Think of all the people who had to cooperate for the Mueller probe to be as invasive as it was for as long as it went on. And you begin to realize just how deep this corruption goes. You begin to realize just how many people were in on it. The deep state, as we've said over and again, it is deep. The swamp runs deep in Washington, D.C. The Telegraph had a story this week, an exclusive, claiming that that Christopher Steele, the infamous Christopher Steele, he produced the Steele dossier, which has been thoroughly debunked. But the Telegraph says that that Mr. Steele actually produced a second dossier, if you can believe it. He produced this for the FBI while Donald Trump was in the White House. So the lies continued, and he continued to supply the DOJ, the FBI, with these lies, a steady stream of them. And people at the DOJ, at the FBI, even under Trump's leadership, evidently had no problem. They had no problem with, of course, you know about the fact that they used these fraudulent revelations, this bogus narrative, they used it to get the FISA warrants to spy on Trump's people, not once, not twice, but four times. And so it continued deep into the Trump presidency, as did the Mueller investigation. And like my father says in that April edition, how many people had to be in on this for them to pull it off? Well, this Telegraph piece talks about all of these other revelations based on other sources, anonymous sources, sexual exploits, things of that nature. Here's what it says in the Telegraph. It says, Mr. Steele's continued involvement supplying intelligence to the FBI appears, listen to this, it appears to give credibility to his original dossier.
What?
That's right. Oprah's right. What? It's been thoroughly debunked. Thoroughly debunked. And so here comes the Telegraph. And again, you have to get to the very bottom of the article to find the relevant facts in this this particular story. But here they are saying, well, it gives credibility to the original dossier, which is what, as the article says, it's what sparked the special counsel investigation back in 2016. So obviously, this makes no sense. If everything in the first dossier has already been exposed as a lie, how does the second one that was supposedly being worked on during the Trump years, how does that give credibility to the first one? The Telegraph says here, the emergence of the 35-page dossier written between June and December of 2016 did not, it appears, signal an end to the former MI6 officer's working relationship with the FBI. Now, the point that the article's making is that Steele just had this continuing, it didn't matter how much he was exposed as a complete and total fraud. He just continued right on with his working relationship with the FBI, working to bring down Donald Trump. It says the Telegraph understands that Mr. Steele, though his company, through his company, Orbis Business Intelligence, continued supplying raw intelligence to the federal authorities in the U.S. Continued, that is, after January of 2017. It says the second dossier contains raw intelligence that makes further claims of Russian meddling in the U.S. election. So here we are with the same old tired narrative, trying to resurrect this, I guess. We'll wait and see this week how many U.S. papers pick this up. Oh, here comes the Russian narrative again. Russian meddling in the U.S. election, and also references claims regarding the existence of further sex tapes. The second dossier is reliant on separate sources to those who supplied information for the first report. So more sources. Now, these are the same people. Keep in mind, the people behind all of this, these are the same people that say you are crazy, you're a conspiracy theorist, if you believe there was any kind of fraudulent activity in the 2020 election. They believe that if you're demanding more protection against voter fraud, that you must be a conspiracy theorist. You're weird. You're crazy. And they're, of course, perfectly normal. Russia, Russia, Russia. Here we go again. More sources, anonymous sources. It says in the Telegraph that the fact that the FBI continued to receive intelligence from Mr. Steele, who ran MI6's Russia desk from 2006 to 2009 before setting up Orbis, is potentially significant because it shows his work was apparently still being taken seriously after Mr. Trump took hold on the reins of power. So actually, I mean, you read through this, I don't think the Telegraph is trying to promote this second dossier. But really, it's trying to make this point. Still, he was still being taken seriously, even months into, years into the Trump presidency. That is astounding. Well, as I say, though, you have to get to the very end of the article to get to the most important facts in this story. It says the original dossier had been dismissed, according to the New York Times, by sources inside the CIA as internet rumor, but it was used. It was used by the Justice Department, the Department of Injustice, to support a secret court order authorizing surveillance of Carter Page. So that salacious set of rumors used, it was used by Antiochus and his cohorts to spy on Donald Trump with the goal of framing him as a Russian spy. And you're the one who's crazy. You're the one who's crazy to believe that this is just a hoax, as Donald Trump used to say. And that, in fact, the election of 2020, that was the one that was rigged. That was the one where there was rampant cheating. As my father said, in this America has no help, no help or peace. Think of all the people who had to cooperate for the Mueller probe to be as invasive as it was for as long as it went on. And you begin to realize just how deep this corruption goes. He says further, the complicity among the political class, including Democrats, Republicans, the news media, and others, is far deeper than Americans realize. The amount of power, money, influence, technology, and intimidation they wield is staggering. It's staggering, the amount of power and money and influence that they have. And it runs right across both political parties. It is a swampy mess of a government. Tucker Carlson, he's been exposing Frank Luntz, who's supposed to be this Republican. In fact, he's a Democrat operative. He's a lobbyist. And Tucker is exposing him this week. He's a Democrat in Republican clothing. That's what it amounts to. And yet Republicans will run to him to get an idea of what the talking point should be. What's the American public going to get behind? What are the hot button issues? And he's been exposed. And then right about the time these segments are coming from Tucker Carlson, there was this email exchange just the other day that was exposed between Luntz and the Hunter Biden camp, where he's trying to cozy up to the Biden crime family, even as he was running down one of his Republican allies, one that he actually worked with. That was from a few years ago. Then last night on Tucker's show, he talks about how that Kevin McCarthy, he's the leader of the Republican Party in the House of Representatives. And Tucker said last night in his show that McCarthy actually lives with Frank Luntz in Washington, D.C., in his ritzy apartment. So all of these people, they're just all part of the swamp. And as we've said at the Trumpet, it needs to be exposed, and it is being exposed. How many patriots are even left in the nation's capital? How many are there to defend the Constitution, to try to rid the city of all of this corruption? My father laid it out on that April issue. How many people had to be in on this? The fraudulent hoax of an investigation by Bob Mueller. And of course, he was exposed as a complete fraud himself when he came for that first hearing. And he didn't even understand anything about the case. He was just handing it over to all of these lawyers that despise Donald Trump. Listen to, we've talked about Rudy Giuliani, this raid on the president's attorney. I played the clip yesterday from Alan Dershowitz, who said over the weekend that this is banana republic stuff. To go pounding on Rudy's door, to send in 7 FBI agents, to confiscate all of his electronics, his equipment, except for the Hunter Biden laptop. That's fine. No need to investigate that. Listen to what Joe Scarborough had to say about this un-American raid. Yes, I said Joe Scarborough from MSNBC. This is clip 12.
Leaks, constant leaks coming from the FBI, constant leaks coming from federal prosecutors. They did it with Karl Rove back in 2005, 2006. Every Friday he was going to be indicted. They did it throughout the Trump administration. They're doing it now. And now the latest is Rudy Giuliani, a guy that, I'm horrified by his activities over the past 4 or 5 years. But they may not be criminal. But this whole idea that we hang people out there who say, oh, well, we're investigating Rudy for this, and oh, we're investigating Gates for that, and oh, we're investigating Joe Genovese for this, oh, we're investigating Victoria Tunzing for this, oh, Don Jr. is going to jail for this, oh, Jared Kushner is going to jail for that. And you read those stories for 6 months, and then suddenly, poof, oh, we're not bringing charges. It seems so un-American to me.
That's Joe Scarborough saying that, look, trying these people in the court of public opinion, well, really in the propaganda media alone. There's plenty of people in the public that see how unjust all of this is. If you're losing Joe Scarborough as the Obama people send over the FBI to take out Rudy Giuliani, if you're losing Joe Scarborough, you're being exposed as an anti-American government that's using these powerful agencies, the FBI, as a weapon, as a political weapon. That's what it amounts to. Lee Smith, he had some insights about the Giuliani raid. He said here, indeed, Justice Department officials sanctioned the Mueller probe as a continuation and cover-up of the illegal espionage operation targeting Trump and his associates that the FBI called Crossfire Hurricane. It says the investigation of Giuliani is yet further extension of Crossfire Hurricane. See, this is the swamp being the swamp. These are the radical leftist Marxist revolutionaries continuing to target their political enemies. It says, even employing the same instrument it used to go after Trump aides, FARA. Until recently, FARA was a seldom enforced law requiring representatives of foreign principals to register with the Justice Department. In the past, if they didn't do this, they'd get a slap on the wrist, maybe a small fine. But not now. Not if you're connected to Donald Trump. This can send you to prison if you don't register. You can go right to jail for this. That's what they want to do with Rudy. It says, in trying to hang a Ukraine-related FARA violation on Giuliani, the Biden administration is giving more evidence that the Democratic Party's default criminal defense is to obscure their illegal activities by accusing their rivals of doing exactly what they are in fact doing. This is a point we've made over and over again. This is the truth about Satan the devil as well. He's the accuser of God's people. And he accuses of what he, in fact, is guilty of. That's what Lee Smith is exposing here. It says the most prominent example is Trump's 2019 impeachment when House Democrats charged him with abuses that were committed by Joe Biden. Joe Biden's the one that abused his power. Joe Biden was the one that said, hey, if you don't get rid of this prosecutor guy, we're going to withhold that $1 billion. That's an abuse of power. That's a quid pro quo. And so what do they get Donald Trump on? This phone call, this perfect phone call where there was no quid pro quo, no nothing. And he gets impeached. That's the way it works in the swamp. That's the way it works in a banana republic. That's the way it works in the third world. That's what Lee Smith says later on. Now, obviously, if President Trump, if he would have known that the FBI was going to the FISA courts secretively one, two, three, four times, even into his presidency, if he would have known that the Steele dossier had a part two, he would have squashed it. But that's just the thing. They weren't working for the president. They were working against him. They were trying to destroy him from Jim Comey right on down the line. And here's Joe Biden just recently saying that it was Donald Trump who politicized the DOJ and the FBI. It's like Lee Smith says, they're guilty. They're guilty. Their illegal activities, they try to obscure them by accusing their rivals of doing exactly what they're doing. Listen to Joe Scarborough again from yesterday, clip 13.
Again, I'm warning you, if you are a progressive that may cheer on Rudy Giuliani getting in the newspaper, I promise you this is un-American. It has continued. The pace of it has gone up. And when they turn on people that you support or a member of your family, you'll understand just how dangerous and how un-American this is. Prosecutors trying cases in the court of public opinion. It needs to stop.
It needs to stop, he says, but it's not going to stop. It's not. They're beating down the door of, as he said, Victoria Tunsing, Rudy Giuliani. You might have heard the story about the couple in Alaska. I think they sent 11 agents up there. These two that went to the January 6th protest in Washington D.C. And the FBI, according to surveillance, thought these two trespassed. They were part of the insurrection. So they beat down the door of this couple, and then they come to find out it was a case of mistaken identity. This is what law enforcement is preoccupied with. Even as they allow rioting and burning and looting and killing and murder in the streets of America. This is what their focus is on. It's on political enemies. It's on payback in the case of Rudy Giuliani, America's mayor. The same mayor that the entire nation rallied around just 20 years ago. But he's now a target because they've got to pay him back forever, ever suggesting that there's anything wrong on the Hunter laptop. or that the Biden family was receiving tens of millions of dollars from the CCP in China, the Communist Party in China, or Ukraine, or Moscow, the mayor's wife of Moscow, and on it goes. Listen to the fake president yesterday, just to shift gears a bit. This was him taking credit for the vaccine rollout, clip one.
I think by the end of the summer, we'll be in a very different position than we are now. As you know, I've worked very hard to make sure we have over 600 million doses of vaccine.
He's worked really hard to kick out the vaccine, 600 million doses. And they continue playing along, his allies in the media, as if the vaccine started on January the 20th. He got his own shot before he even came into office, before the fake inauguration of January the 20th. But he's worked hard to get all these doses out there. And I mean his supporters, they are beginning to apply pressure. Remember last year, a little over a year ago? We just need a few days. We just need a couple of weeks to flatten the curve. We just need 2 weeks. All we want to do is just stop it from spreading so fast. And now you got to take the vaccine and everything else that we're demanding, or else you're an enemy. You've got to be shunned. We'll come to that in just a second. But first, listen to, this is a doctor, an epidemiologist from Ohio. And I watched this the other day. It's a few days old, or at least it came to our attention just a few days ago. But I had to watch it again and then ask Sam and others, is this fake? Is it for real what this guy is saying? But he has his commercials, or this little spot that's playing in Ohio, encouraging people to take the vaccine because it's completely harmless. It'll actually save your life. Listen to this, clip five.
There's a lot of misinformation about what's inside the COVID-19 vaccine. Truth is, there's just a few simple ingredients. Water, sugar, salt, fat, and most importantly, a building block for protein that teaches your body how to recognize and fight COVID-19. That's less stuff than a candy bar or a can of pop. And the vaccine can save your life.
Cue up Oprah again. What? Are you serious? It's just a little bit of water and sugar and then what did he say? A building block for protein? Wow. There's no mercury or aluminum in it? No toxic metals of any kind? No aborted fetal tissue? Nothing like that. Oh, no. There's nothing. Nothing from a cow's belly or a horse's hoof. Nothing like that. There's nothing that would make you sick. There's nothing synthetic. I mean, it's all natural. It's water and a little bit of sugar. You can make it at home, I guess. I guess a three-year-old can make up the vaccine. I'm surprised now that it took a year to roll it out. Water, sugar, salt, fat, and a building block for protein. Why did that take 12 months? Seems like you can make that in 12 minutes. Well, of course, the mystery ingredient is the building block for protein. What does that involve? Just go to the CDC website and see if you can even pronounce some of the ingredients. And we don't even know if that's all the ingredients. Because this is shrouded in mystery, you know. But just try to pronounce some of the chemicals and things that are in these vaccines. This is the warning that the CDC sends out. Says the Janssen COVID-19 vaccine is an unapproved vaccine that may prevent COVID-19. It's not even approved by the CDC. It's an emergency measure. The CDC hasn't even yet approved it. Now, they probably will soon enough. But still, the fact that here we are, May the 4th, and the CDC hasn't yet approved it, says there's no FDA-approved vaccine to prevent. Maybe I get the CDC confused with the FDA here. Either way, this is a government agency. You had the government clearing away any kind of restrictions that are normally in place for any kind of vaccine. Those were removed because of the emergency needs of these COVID-19 vaccines. And then here comes the media. Even with all of these concerns, even with all of these ingredients, that have already been proven to be harmful, at least for a small percentage of the population taking it. The people getting sick, some even dying. And the media, they try to cover all of that up. They want you to believe that it's 100% safe and that it will 100% save your life. This is from theconversation.com, and it's talking about why some people get side effects and why others do not. Listen to the twisted reasoning at this particular website. It says, vaccine side effects are merely signs that the immune system is working as it should. If you get side effects, that just means it's working perfectly. It's perfect. It's just like the election last year. Everything's perfect. Everything's just fine. Right. It says, this has left some people wondering, if that's the immune system doing what it's supposed to do, does a lack of side effects mean my immune system hasn't been primed to protect me? You see the logic? Really, if you're not getting the side effects, that's when you should wonder about a few things. But here they are to say, don't worry. Don't worry, everything's fine. Everything's perfect. Everything's working just great. It says vaccine side effects shouldn't be taken as a measure of the effectiveness of the vaccine. So here they are saying that if there are some side effects, that just means it's perfect. It's perfect. That's unbelievable. And so push it out. Rush it out. Doesn't even have to be FDA approved. Just rush it out. And then apply some intense pressure. Publicly shame people if you have to. Kick them out of restaurants. Kick them out of planes if you have to. That's what's coming. Started with the masks. And now you have more and more people. You have more and more prominent people, powerful people, saying that, hey, if there's not some kind of vaccine passport, then why should Americans be free to travel? Or to go into shopping centers or whatever else it might be. Listen to Sunny Hostin. She's somehow or another, she's the legal expert on The View. This is what she had to say yesterday, clip 10.
When you look at the folks that are not getting vaccinated, because it's a quarter of Americans that aren't getting vaccinated, white evangelicals, 45% say they won't get vaccinated, according to a Pew Research. Republicans, almost 50% of Republicans are refusing to get the vaccine. So we won't reach herd immunity because of those particular groups. So I say we need to shun those that refuse to get vaccinated.
Shun them. Yeah, those particular groups, the religious, the Republicans. Of course, that's always the problem. And if they don't get vaccinated, we should shun them. We should shut them out. My wife gets this email alert every day from Dr. Mercola. He's into natural health and basically addressing causes of sickness and disease rather than the effect. And, of course, he does it through natural means. Listen to this from his website. He sent this email out just this morning. He says, I have refused to succumb to the pharmaceutical thugs and their relentless attacks until now, he says. However, non-legal threats have now become very personal and intensified to the point that I can no longer preserve the information and research I've provided you thus far. So he's having to cancel out his own material on his own website because he's coming under threats from the vaccine Gestapo. He's coming under threats from these fascists that say he should be shunned. He should be canceled out. He has no right to the freedoms enshrined in the Bill of Rights in the United States of America. He has no right because he's a danger to society. Listen to Bill Nye. He's another radical leftist, the science guy. He's an expert, I guess, on the vaccine now. Here's clip 4.
If a person doesn't get vaccinated and he or she gets infected, it's going to mutate in that person. It will vary in that person, and then that could infect me. And that's not fair, right? That's the first. Yeah. Everybody on the other side is saying, well, it's not fair to make me wear a mask. It's not fair to make me get vaccinated. Well, it's not fair to everybody else if you become an incubator for a variant.
If you don't get vaccinated, it's not fair to me, he says. It's not. Remember, accuse your rivals, your opponents of exactly what you're guilty of. Now they're insisting. This is far beyond 15 days to stop the spread. I would encourage you to go back to March and April of last year. Listen to some of these programs that we produced a year ago, over a year ago, as we told you about where this was headed. First, it was 15 days, just slow the spread, and we'll get to herd immunity in the summer, and everything can return to normal. Now you've got these public officials, now you've got these pseudoscientists, now you've got them saying, if you don't get vaccinated, you're going to kill me. Listen to, again, Sunny Hostin from The View yesterday, clip 11.
Just like now in certain states, many states, I know in New York, there are signs on storefronts, on businesses all across the state, no mask, no entry. I think if you have not been vaccinated, no entry. You want to get on a plane? You got to be vaccinated. Show proof of vaccination. And those people that don't want to get vaccinated, then that's fine. That's fine for you. But then you can't spread it to other people that are vaccinated.
Right. If you're not vaccinated, then fine. You just can't go anywhere because we can't have you spreading the disease to the people who are vaccinated. I thought the vaccination made you immune. I mean, that's her basically admitting that the vaccine doesn't even work. Otherwise, why wear the mask? Why continue wearing the mask? I've been vaccinated. Everybody, remember that speech. That fake State of the Union address just last week, 200 people in there, or 400, whatever it was, all of them had been fully vaccinated, all of them masked up, all of them socially distanced. They couldn't even fill up the House of Representatives because of all of these extreme measures, layer after layer after layer. The fake president himself, he's been fully vaccinated, yet he goes on a Zoom call. He's nowhere near these world leaders. He's wearing the mask. And then, incredibly, he's pictured with the former president, Jimmy Carter, and his wife. They're both in their 90s. Joe Biden and his wife, by the way, look enormous in this picture. They look massive. It's all over social media, the distortion in this photo. In any event, here's Joe Biden leaning over next to Rosalynn Carter, who's in her 90s, and he has no mask. Now, he wears the mask when he gets in front of his computer to talk to Vladimir Putin. So how do you make sense of any of this? They can't go out in public without the vaccine because they might get us who have been vaccinated sick. That's the way that it works. The mentality, though, that's what's really frightening here. The mentality, the fascist mentality. You cannot go out or you're going to get us sick. You're going to get us sick. There they are with the photo. Listen to Andrew Cuomo. Speaking of things that are somewhat humorous, we turn to Andrew Cuomo for a moment. He said this yesterday about people who chose not to get vaccinated. Clip 3.
Who are the groups we're targeting on the vaccination? Youthful and the doubtful. And there is an attitude that they'll be fine. Why should they take the vaccine? Maybe you will get a long-haul syndrome that we're not really sure what it is yet, but a lingering consequence of COVID. Or maybe you go home and kiss your grandmother and wind up killing your grandmother.
Now, there's a man, as someone said online, with absolutely no sense of irony. The man who is responsible for killing thousands of grandmothers in nursing homes. The nursing home massacre. And there he is preaching yesterday saying, if you don't get vaccinated, you're going to kill your grandmother. How about that? You can't make this up, can you? You just cannot make this up. Listen again to what Mr. Cuomo had to say yesterday about his nursing home massacre. Clip 6.
Yeah, nursing homes is being looked at by the Eastern District. That was a political investigation started by Donald Trump, who politicized not just COVID, but then politicized nursing homes and policies towards nursing homes.
It was just all politicized, investigating the nursing home massacre. It's just Donald Trump. Well, here's the New York Times from last week. This is no friend of Donald Trump. This is the New York Times. This is the newspaper of record. This is right in his backyard, Andrew Cuomo. The Times says here, aides to the New York governor, Andrew M. Cuomo, repeatedly prevented state health officials from releasing the number of nursing home deaths in the pandemic. So here it's Cuomo's government, and you have his aides. This would be like the aides in the White House telling the health department, you don't distribute those negative statistics. You submit to our will. And they did it, at least for a time. Now it's being exposed. It says here, the effort by Governor Andrew Cuomo's office to obscure the pandemic death toll in New York nursing homes was far greater than previously known, with aides repeatedly overruling state health officials over a span of at least 5 months. This was the period where he's writing his book about how great he did. The Andrew Cuomo leadership, lessons in leadership, something to that effect. Another book that nobody read, just like Hunter's. But it says here, with aides repeatedly overruling state health officials over a span of at least 5 months, according to interviews and newly unearthed documents. This is not Conservative Treehouse. It's not Fox News. It's not the Daily Caller. This is the New York Times. The New York Times. It says here, Mr. Cuomo's most senior aides engaged in a sustained effort to prevent the state's own health officials, including the commissioner, Howard Zucker, from releasing the true death toll to the public or sharing it with state lawmakers. It says here, the actions coincided with the period in which Mr. Cuomo was pitching and then writing a book on the pandemic with the assistance of his top. You can't make this up. You can't make it up. So much fakery, so many lies, so much deception. Cover some history that you heard about on this program over a year ago. It says, as the first wave hit the New York area in March of 2020, the administration put in place a policy to prevent nursing homes from turning away patients discharged from hospitals after treatment for COVID-19. In other words, they let COVID-19 positives into nursing homes. And then when the death toll reached into the thousands, in tens of thousands even, they tried to cover it up. They tried to obscure the truth. And he says this was all Donald Trump? This was a politicized investigation? It says here, the full data on nursing home deaths was not released until this year, after a report by the state attorney general in late January found that the official tally might have undercounted the true toll by as much as 50%. That is something Mr. Cuomo's aides had known since the previous spring, the New York Times found. They knew all about it. They knew they were lying. They knew they were covering it up. And all throughout the lies and the deception and the false narrative, the media, they just heaped praise. This was the next president of the United States. He had to be. He was speaking the truth as Donald Trump was telling lies. We'll forego the montage that we've played before. The media practically worshiping Andrew Cuomo all throughout last year, and yet now he's been exposed, and yet he's still right there. He's still doing the press conferences like you've just seen. He still says things like this. This is clip 8.
You know, I relate to it because, as you know, I am a New Yorker, born and bred. I am smart. I am New York tough.
There you go. That's definitely going into the laugh track. That'll be right there next to the Oprah. What? I am smart. He says, that's the governor of the great state of New York. When we come back, we'll continue on with our study of this beautiful psalm about God's law, Psalm 119, penned by the prophet Jeremiah. You're listening to The Trumpet Daily, and you can reach us. You can email us, td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. The Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course is a distance learning program that makes the Bible clear and understandable. The correspondence course enables enrollees to learn what the Bible itself says about subjects that affect you and the world you live in. This fascinating Bible course highlights and proves what the Bible says about morality, war, religion, terrorism, and other current events, focusing on the root causes of this world's many problems facing man, as well as their solutions. The Bible and this course also focuses on the reason mankind was created in the first place, the way to happiness, accomplishment, and fulfillment, as well as the truth behind important doctrinal questions, such as what happens after we die, the nature of God, the resurrection, the millennium, and other critical subjects. Enroll today in the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
So we've been going through these various sections of Psalm 119, these eight verse sections, all built around a particular letter in the Hebrew alphabet. We made it through verse 48 on yesterday's show, and it says here in Psalm 119, verse 49, "Remember the word unto your servant, upon which you have caused me to hope." It says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has quickened me." Notice these quickened, of course, means to be made alive. Your word gives me life. It says, "I put my hope in your word." Your word is my comfort during affliction, hope and comfort and life. This section of the psalm, in this section we find that God's word, it will lift our spirits during periods of trial and test. That's when we really need to delve into the truth of God the most, when we're hurting, when we're struggling, when we're facing trial and test. There is hope in God's word. There is comfort in God's word, even in times of affliction. We're in the midst of some pretty bitter affliction right now in the United States. 105 days of it so far. And yet we can be hopeful. We can be very positive. We can know. We can have faith in God that this unfolds exactly the way that He's prophesied it will. And there's a tremendous comfort in that. Verse 51 says, "The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from your law. I remember your judgments of old," it says, "O Lord, and have comforted myself." See, we're going up against so much resistance, so many enemies that want to destroy God's work, that want to stamp out or blot out the message, the truth, even the name of Israel. And yet again, it says, the psalmist says, "and have comforted myself." What a comfort God's truth is. Verse 53, it says, "Horror has taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage." Notice he says their horrors have taken hold upon me. I mean, what I'm seeing all around me is just horrific. And yet I sing your songs. Yes, I sing about your truth. I love your truth. I rely upon your truth. God's laws, so many of them, were set to song. In the Old Testament, they are to this day. If you've followed us for very long, you know a lot about our musicals and the tremendous amount of music that we produce. Music that in most cases is based right on lyrics that come out of your Bible. They come out of the Word of God. It says in verse 55, "I have remembered your name, O Eternal, in the night and have kept your law. Verse 57 says, you are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words. So here we lead into yet another section. Yet another section. And this is telling us that, or it reminds us that the rock that made us, we're carved from him. He's our maker. We have a solid foundation in him. You are my portion. In other words, God is our portion, our inheritance. He's our life. You can look at Acts 17, verse 28, some other time, where Paul said there that, you know, in him we live, we move, we have our being. God is our portion. He's reproducing himself. We're carved from that rock that is God. Verse 59, it says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto your testimony. So all throughout this psalm, you see a lot of verses talking about just how much Jeremiah meditated on these ways, these statutes, these laws, this truth. Verse 63, it says, I'm a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep your precepts. It says, the earth, O eternal, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. Notice that word companion there in verse 63. We're working together with God. He's our partner. There's verses in Paul's writings that talk about us being co-laborers or co-workers with one another. It's a family operation. 2 Corinthians 6:1 says that we're workers together with him, with God. He is our portion. He is our inheritance. He is our maker. He's the rock. He's the great creator God. And we're all working together with him. Verse 65 says, You have dealt well with your servant, O eternal, according unto your word. In this section, I believe it's the start of the ninth section here, we learn that there are none who are good except God. That's why we have to be cut from him. That's why he has to be our portion. Because of and by ourselves, we're nothing. There's no goodness in human beings. Matthew 19:17, Jesus said, why call you me good? There's none good but one, and that is God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. See, God alone is good. If Jesus said that in Matthew 19, I mean, what does that say about the rest of us? Jesus lived a perfect and sinless life. And someone came up to him and said, good master, and Jesus corrected him right away and said, why are you calling me good? All the goodness in Christ came from above. All the goodness in Christ came from his Father in heaven, his portion. Verse 66, it says, teach me good judgment and knowledge. I have believed your commandments, it says. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept your word. You are good, it says, and doeth good. Teach me your statutes. You're the one who's good. God is good. Everything that you do is good. Teach me how to be like you. Teach me to do what you do. Teach me to live by your laws. Verse 69, it says, the proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Again, we're going up against a lot. There's a lot of enemies of God out there. The heart of man is hostile to the laws of God. Desperately wicked, Jeremiah said. Verse 71 says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. What an attitude. What an attitude to take on, even during affliction. He talks about the goodness, the tremendous goodness of God. And then he says, you know what? It's been good for me to go through this affliction because it's helped me. This fiery trial has helped me to get to know your truth more deeply, to dwell on your statutes, your commandments, your government, your purpose and plan. Here again, what a comfort. What a comfort it is. Verse 72, it says, "The law of your mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." Do you really value the truth of God the way that Jeremiah the prophet, the way that this prophet did? This is true riches we're talking about. Even trials, going back to the previous few verses, even trials, there's multiple verses that talk about how much of a blessing it is to be tried and tested, to have our character perfected and purified, to be made white, spiritually speaking. Verse 73, it says, "Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding," it says, "that I may learn your commandments." You're my maker. You have fashioned me. You created me. You're the one that brought me into existence. Now, you've got to be the one to show me how to live. Show me. Give me the understanding. Open my mind to these wondrous works, as I covered on yesterday's show. Open my mind to the riches and the depths of your glorious truth, your glorious purpose. In this section, the 10th section, we're told that God is our maker. God is our maker, and his laws are perfect. His laws are righteous. His laws are holy. Again, it says, "Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. They that fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Eternal, that your judgments are right and that you in faithfulness have afflicted me." I know your judgments are right. I know your truth is my instruction book. I know these afflictions have been good for me. They've made me more reliant on you. They've strengthened my faith, my trust in you. Your words give me such hope and joy. Yes, indeed, God sends an instruction book along with his creation. And he says, now, make sure you use it. Make sure you use it. This is the how-to book that we all need. Further on, verse 81, it says, "My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word." So in this 11th section, God tells us that our hope is in his word. And again, some of this overlaps with what we've read previously. Proverbs 29:18, "Where there's no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he." See, we have hope. Hope in God's truth, hope in God's prophecies, hope in God's word. Verse 82, it says, "Mine eyes fail for your word, saying, when will you comfort me?" How long? How long is this going to go on, in other words? Verse 84, "How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on them that persecute me?" That's a good one to end on today. How much longer is this persecution going to continue? How much longer is all of this evil, this filth, this fraudulent activity? How much longer is it going to continue and persist underneath the surface? Well, it's not even covered up, so much of it. It's right out there in the open. It's so blatantly evil. God's exposing it. God is exposing it. Here is God's prophet longing for the conclusion of the matter. The conclusion of the matter. The hope that's in the end, you see, that's all revealed in the Holy Scriptures. That's why we've got to keep our minds, our eyes, our thoughts buried in the truth of God. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Don't forget to submit some feedback, td@kpcg.fm. We thank you for joining us on today's show at the new time. And we'll see you again the same time tomorrow.